This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Well, I think at the fair I'd blend in because I used to spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
There's a 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, no, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who I don't think stayed up late enough to see the end of the late Monday night football game last night, Mr. Steve Sell.
You are correct, sir.
At what point in the game did you go to bed?
Halftime.
Okay.
That's not bad for me.
But especially since the game started at 9:20.
Yeah.
I think I looked up and it was like 11 o'clock at halftime.
Yeah, I stayed up. 11 o'clock, that's Twilight Zone for me.
Yeah.
I was in the Twilight Zone last night.
You didn't get to stay up late enough to see Derek Carr have a meltdown. Get to stay up late enough to see John Gruden still look a little silly for trading Khalil Mack. You didn't stay up late enough to see Marcus Peters pick six.
I saw the replay, but
I'll tell you what, I missed that guy a lot.
The second half must have really been bad because, you know, the Raiders kind of hung in the first half.
It was a pretty good first half.
It was a competitive first half. And
were they winning 13-10 at halftime?
Something like that. All I know is you know, when I went to bed, I said, this game's going down the wire. And then when I saw the score this morning at 33-13, I said, man, what in the world happened in the second half? And so I went home I always take an early lunch for the show just to kind of see what's going on in the sports world. And John Gruden was just getting crucified. They said, oh, he's come back to a different game than what he left it. His team didn't look prepared. He's supposed to be a quarterback guru, and Derek Carr had like an 0.4 quarterback rating.
Oh, he was bad.
Yeah. They said Derek Carr looked totally confused. So a lot of Raider fans out there, like our man Trey Vall, they couldn't have been very happy last night.
Do you think I feel very bad for him?
No.
I hear enough trash talk from Trey in our fantasy football group message every week that, yeah, I don't really feel bad for Raider Nation.
No.
The black hole.
There are a lot of Raider fans around here. That's what's really surprising. You know, this
and I don't
Chiefs,
feel bad for any of them.
This is Chiefs country, but there are a lot of Raiders fans.
So it was a fun night of football last night. I got to check out a little JV, a little freshman football. Didn't get to watch as much of the Jets and Lions, but as the trend worked all weekend long, Steve, new football coaches in the NFL had a rough weekend.
Well, there are 7 new coaches in the NFL, and they went exactly 0-7.
Ugh.
And some of their I did watch that Jets-Lions game for a while, and it was a good game. There's another game. Great game for a half. It was 17-17 in the third quarter, and the Jets scored 31 unanswered points. The Detroit fans are already wanting to fire Matt Patricia. They don't like that he thing that bothers me, I'm not a fan of a coach wearing a backwards hat. And then, of course, having that ridiculous pencil.
Okay, but
out.
Why does he have a pencil if he has a laminated play sheet?
Exactly.
What's the point?
Why is he wearing his hat back? That's like a golf. That would be like Tiger wearing his playing golf with his hat backwards. You're disrespecting the game. Anytime I see anybody on the golf course with their hat on backwards, I want to just go up to them and tell them
they're disrespecting your
they
game.
They are, because golf, you know, golf's all about respect and dignity, and it's probably the most uppity game you'll ever see. You know, you're supposed
Steve,
to.
I'm glad that you don't have a lawn at your house because you'd just be telling people to get off of it.
Yeah.
Say, get off my lawn.
But I just,
turn that hat around.
I just feel like that's a disrespect of the game. And I think coaching with a hat on backwards, you know, as a defensive.
Should he wear a suit?
As a defensive coordinator, you know, for Belichick, you know, I can get away with stuff like that. But when you're the guy, to me, that sets the tone of the program. It's a sloppy look, and his team really played sloppy. Matthew Stafford was even worse than Derek Carr last night, if that's possible.
Bill Belichick sure is a smooth dresser.
Well,
he's not very sloppy. What about Big Red with that big old windbreaker?
Hey, Big Red can wear whatever he wants if they win every game like they did on Sunday. But, no, I just 0-7, and a lot of them, you know, Gruden's team looked bad. Matt Patricia's team looked bad. I think Frank Reich, his team, Indianapolis, didn't look very good.
Yeah, it was rough. Well, Indy had a chance.
Arizona was just horrible.
Yeah, they were rough.
Steve Wilks. And I picked, you know, I said when I did my football picks and I had a little something on each team, I said Arizona's going to be awful. I think Arizona and Buffalo could be two of the really worst teams in the NFL.
Oh, boy, Buffalo is bad. Yeah, Nathan Peterman.
Wow. And I said in my preview, I said, it almost makes me laugh that Nathan Peterman is their starting quarterback. They put Josh Allen in. You know, Josh Allen had been in training camp. He was like the number, I don't know what pick of the quarterbacks. I think he was the third quarterback.
I was thinking three.
I think he was three, or Darnold maybe was three. No, Darnold went three to the Jets after Saquon. But after 2 weeks, they were saying that, you know, they were getting whispers, oh, my God, we've put our faith in Josh Allen. The guy's an absolute bust. He comes in. He was absolutely horrible. Of course, remember, Jared Goff's first year. Everyone's saying one of the worst number one draft picks of all time. How'd that work out? He's pretty good now.
He looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
Steve, we got a couple of things we want to talk about later on in the show today. I want to talk about the big day for McPherson High Athletics and everything that'll be coming up today. I wanted to talk a little bit about some tennis. You and I don't talk a lot of tennis, but a big issue popped up over the weekend, and I want to talk about that. But before, going back to the Raiders, I know they're moving to Vegas here pretty soon.
2 years.
And that they won't be in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum any longer.
On the dirt infield.
How ridiculous is it that not only the Raiders allow their players to play on dirt, why does the NFL allow that? And I get that things were different 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever that stadium was built, and whenever you were growing up and multi-purpose stadiums were a thing. Number one, it had to do a little bit with money, but number two, it didn't make that much of a difference because it's not like the fields back then were phenomenal facilities anyway. But now, with the amount of money that is specifically invested in these players, how could the NFL ever allow its quarterbacks, its wide receivers, defensive players, running backs, to get hit and slide across dirt?
Get a face full of dirt.
Get your head hit on the dirt. Kick field goals in the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
How can they ever allow that to happen?
It's atrocious.
I don't get it.
And that stadium is
There's a corner of the end zone right in front of the black hole that's dirt.
Right.
Why did they allow that to happen?
You'd think the players' bargaining agreement, they would have had some kind of say, hey, when we go to Oakland, we need to play. Surely there's another stadium nearby they could play.
Well, why don't they put turf down? That was my thought last night is why not just install a big slab of turf and just use that throughout the season.
Well, they share it with the Oakland A's. And the
well,
Oakland
tell
A's,
them to use turf.
They don't want to use turf.
Tell them to buy their own stadium if they want things done the right way. Well, I don't get it, Steve.
Oh, it's terrible.
I can't believe the NFL would allow it to happen.
It's the, you know, in the old days, everybody played on dirt.
Right.
You look at those old film clips from the 60s, Shea Stadium. Remember those games with Joe Willie Namon? He'd be throwing passes and the dirt would be kicking up. And
I don't remember them, but
well,
you do.
I do. Because I was a big fan of the AFL. It seemed like every team almost played on dirt.
I would almost think it's like a liability issue.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that... And think about not only getting tackled in the dirt. Let's say you're Tyreek Hill. Chiefs go out to the Raiders this year. And I think they play in December, so it might not be an issue. But you run a little quick slant across the middle. You start this route in grass. You run through the dirt by the second base bag. And then you pop back out into grass. That transition from the dirt to the grass. What if
dangerous.
You miss it?
Yeah.
You roll your ankle.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how mad Chiefs fans would be if Tyreek Hill rolled his ankle?
And the scary thing is, this year the Oakland A's are really good.
And so it's going to stay out there longer.
They could end up playing in the deep October. I mean, they really could. because they're going to be in a playoff game, most likely against the Yankees. And Oakland has had the Yankees number. And, of course, they have to beat them. They'll have to beat them at Yankee Stadium. But Oakland has had the Yankees number. And Oakland is a team that could go a long way.
The Chiefs are at Oakland in the beginning of December.
Okay.
So
they'll have
by then
they'll be back on grass. But
let's hope so.
Yeah, it'll be grass. But
the dirty Coliseum with pipes leaking.
Oh, it's just despicable. It's the worst baseball stadium except for Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is weird. I don't know if it's just that bad, but it's weird because nobody goes to the games.
Yeah.
I don't mind the way the baseball is played inside Tropicana Field.
It's got a catwalk, though.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Where in Oakland, there's 500 feet of foul territory. The dugouts are so far away from everything. I remember there was one year, I think, during the football season that the plumbing inside one of the locker rooms busted. And so the dugout was just full of poop and other sort of bad stuff in there.
Sewage.
Yeah, never good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's my rant about Oakland.
Okay.
I was joking around with somebody the other day, and they were saying, what happens if you ever got offered a job to, like, do play-by-play for the Raiders or the Broncos or the Chargers, which it's not going to happen for a long time, if it ever did. But I think they could go back in my track record and say, yeah, we're not going to take that guy. He's talked too much trash on the Coliseum, although the Coliseum will be rubble by then.
Yeah.
Too much trash on Mile High Stadium, on John Elway, the quarterback guru.
I think... Isn't Oakland the only professional franchise now that they share a stadium?
I think it's the only multi-sport one left.
Yeah, I think it's all that's left.
I mean, not talking about basketball and hockey, obviously.
Right.
I don't know if any other ones share. Because Minnesota used to, and they don't.
Yeah.
I think Qualcomm at one point was multi-purpose, wasn't it?
I believe so. Well,
but Petco Park has been around for a long time.
Yeah, Petco's been around.
So I think they're the only ones.
Yeah.
And great. About time to burn that thing to the ground.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Knock it over. Well, and I guess Golden State's going to move away from next door, too.
Really?
I think they're going into San Francisco.
Well, I think they can afford to build a new place with all the money they've made from the
Well, they're spending a whole lot of money, too.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Let's take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about Serena
Williams. Now's a great time for an autumn fun time loan from...
I want to talk about Serena Williams, as a couple of things have been strange and going on with them for the last couple of weeks, or the last couple of days, with the U.S. Open and that ruling that came out. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
A little less conversation, a little more action. Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, working through all of our technical difficulties, as always. Steve, did you watch a little tennis this past weekend?
Not very much, I gotta admit. I just watched some kind of highlights. Once Rafa was out, I really didn't care on
Rafa.
The men. I didn't care about the men's side because I don't know either one. I mean, Djokovic.
Novak.
He reminds me of Yvonne Lendl, and I didn't like him, so I don't like Djokovic. The other guy, didn't know who he was. And then, of course, on the women's side, you had Serena. And I think it was Osaka. Is that her name?
Naomi Osaka.
Osaka. I just figured Serena would roll, and it really kind of caught me by surprise that she didn't. Because, I mean, let's face it, Serena is the greatest tennis player, male or female, of all time.
There's been a lot of talk about what happened with her over the weekend at the U.S. Open. And for those of you that don't know, and maybe have just seen people talking about her, what essentially happened is she was in the match with Osaka in the final. And the official, I don't want to use the word accused, but said she was getting coaching, which is illegal in matches like that. You can't get any coaching from the stands, and their coaches are always there. And to my understanding, it's always kind of an unwritten rule that there is a little bit of coaching that goes on,
yeah.
but that they can call you out on it, and if you do, then you can get you can lose like 1 point.
Right.
And then Serena contested that and said, hey, I'm not cheating, I'm not doing that, and then broke her tennis racket and was screaming, and so they gave her a game
right.
penalty. So it was 4-3, I think, at that moment, and then was bumped to 5-3. So Osaka was then one game away from winning that set. And I don't want to talk about this from a lot of the sense of other people have been, and I don't want to talk about the racial issue that people are discussing. I don't want to talk about the gender issue that people are discussing. But one thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about, and that is when people get accused like that, you could hear some of the audio of Serena saying, I've never cheated in my life. I'm a mother. I would never cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stealing from me. I need an apology. And that was something that I didn't like.
That's wrong.
Because I don't think that's a very good excuse. So, Steve, let's play out a hypothetical. Let's say you go out and play 100 rounds of golf. And the first 99, you never cheat. You never take an extra penalty shot. You never move that ball out from underneath the tree. But you and I are playing match play, and it's important. It's coming down to that final stroke. And you hit one underneath the tree, and we know it's over there. Maybe it's even close to an edge. And you go over and say, ooh, found my ball. But maybe you didn't really find it. You pulled one out of your pocket. If your excuse was, first 99 times, I never cheated. I didn't cheat. First 99 times, I didn't. I don't think that's a very good excuse to say you for sure didn't cheat then. Do you agree with me?
Well, first thing, I would never cheat.
Well, no, you're not a cheater.
Because golf is a gentleman, you know, it's the honor of the golf.
I might.
Yeah, but the honor, I don't think you do it. But the honor of golf is just, it's just, for me, I respect the game too much. I think of Serena, I'm thinking, okay, she's won 23 majors. What could a coach in the stands really tell her? I mean, even if they did coach.
But just her excuse of her.
I didn't like that. I did not like.
Let's say you get arrested.
Yeah.
And a cop pulls you over and says, Steve, are you drunk driving? And you said, look, officer, I've driven this road 99 times, and I've never drunk driven. I don't know how you phrase that.
Driven drunk.
What do you? I didn't do it this time. You think that means they're just going to not give you the breathalyzer if you smell a little funny? They think, ooh, Steve, we saw him over at the Legion having fun over there with all his buddies. Do you understand my rationale there?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good excuse.
Yeah, and I didn't like what she said, you know, I'm a mother. I mean,
yeah,
that's
like, just, I don't care. You're playing tennis.
Yeah, that's just a bad excuse.
I would never cheat because I'm a mother.
I think her big thing was she felt like if John McEnroe had done the same thing,
yes,
nothing would have happened to him. But my other gripe is I don't like it when an official or a referee becomes the story. That bothers me. I
don't either.
A referee or official should never be the story. And I felt like the referee became the story in this. The umpire, I guess it would be, chair umpire.
And I get that. But part of it is that official was trying to enforce the rules.
Yeah.
And I know that that's an excuse, and I think if you ask Coach Kinnaman, sometimes he'll say the same thing because, you know, he's a coach and they deal with officials.
Right.
But if that official is just going by the rules, let's say she was getting coaching from the stands, and she was, and he says, hey, here's your penalty.
He should have just gone on
that,
after that.
He didn't make it a big deal. He's just enforcing the rule.
Yeah.
And then she made it more of the big deal.
Well, breaking the racket, I mean, that's a...
It was never great.
Not good. Not good.
It's like whenever a manager comes out after a call and starts arguing with that home plate umpire. And some people might say, oh, that umpire's just trying to get seen, and he's just trying to make sure everybody knows him. You know, Joe West.
Mm-hmm.
By throwing that guy out. But if the person's not doing what they need to do, and words are exchanged, and things are said, and he says, look, we're not doing this anymore. See ya. Go to the showers.
Yeah.
Hey, Serena, we're giving you this penalty. I don't know if it's necessarily making them the story. And I've heard people say that a few times, and I don't know if the umpire was making it about them.
I didn't see it I just saw the highlights. I needed to see the whole match to really. Have more of an opinion. I did not watch it. I mean, I'll admit, I just saw the highlights. Serena was in the wrong. You know, she was wrong to say, you know, I'm a mother, you're a thief.
I just don't think that's a good excuse.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, I think she's got a little point that, you know, if it'd been McEnroe or Federer would never do it because he didn't even speak. But, you know, been McEnroe or Connors or somebody like that.
And I agree with her on that.
Yeah, they would have let it go. I mean, good grief, how many times did John McEnroe say, are you serious? You can't be serious, you know, and things like that. And you're an idiot, you know, you're a moron. You know, how many times did he do that and never got penalized?
I get that, and I'm with her in that. Mm. I just think her argument was not very good.
Yeah.
That almost feels and like I feel bad. You got handcuffed.
I feel bad for Osaka because this should be the biggest moment of her life.
People were booing
yeah,
while her ceremony anything. Was going on, she didn't and do she anything. Played great.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. What did she do? She just won.
Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah.
I like Serena.
Yeah.
I didn't like her excuse, though.
Yeah.
100 times I've driven down that road and I've never sped, and then I get popped going 42 and a 35, and I say, officer, I drive down this road every day, and I go 34 every time.
Well, and I think another thing, Serena's got a bit of chip on her shoulder because she's been drug tested periodically since she's had her kid. I mean, really? You think she's doing drugs after she's had her kid? I don't think so. She's a mother.
Who knows?
She's a mother.
Yeah, she's a mother. Yeah, she would never cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I know a lot of mothers that have cheated. I'm like, that's not a very good excuse. Yeah. All right, Steve, let's take our final break. We'll talk a little Bullpup sports for today. Coming up next, you're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, big day today. Big week today for us. We're going to be running all over the place. Big week today. Big week this week.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, we got it. Barely. Tonight, we got a little soccer action out at McPherson Stadium. 7:30, McPherson against Rose Hill. McPherson's 4-1 and Rose Hill is 1-4. But I think we know 1-4 is not really indicative of what their record should be.
No, in fact, Coach Adrian's calling this one of the biggest weeks of the year because Rose Hill and McPherson have always played physical games, very close games. And then Salina Central, which will be here on Thursday, has pretty much had the Bullpup's number in recent years. Salina Central's had some terrific teams, always very fast, very skilled. But you got to take Rose Hill first. And this is one, I don't think the Bullpups can really afford to look past anybody. I know they're 4-1, but, you know, everybody gets up to play McPherson because, you know, the Bullpups were third in the state last year, got a lot of guys back. And the Bullpups, they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder because they didn't like how they finished last week in that May South Invitational. They got fifth, they got upset in the first round.
I think they like how they finished.
Well, yeah.
Maybe how they didn't
their
start.
Their fifth place finish is what they didn't like. They felt like they should have been in the finals. Valley Center, which beat the Bullpups on penalty kicks in the first round, went on to play May South in the finals, lost to May South. But again, you know, we ended up 2-1, 4-1 on the year now. Good start. But I know Coach Adrian's, he felt like the last game against Thomas More Prep, we started to look like the team he thinks we're going to be. And, you know, if we could put like a 3-0 something on Rose Hill tonight, I think the Bullpups are on their way.
Also going on this evening, 5 o'clock, a volleyball triangular at Augusta. Now, the McPherson-Augusta matchup is not the one that everybody will have their eyes on.
But Augusta will be good.
They are good.
Yeah.
But McPherson, Rose Hill, the two-time defending 4A state champs.
Yeah, two-time defending 4A champs.
With Gracie Van Driel.
And the Bullpups beat Rose Hill during the second meeting. Now, I covered the first meeting. The first meeting last year was at the Roundhouse. and Rose Hill just obliterated us. I mean, they just really played well. We go down to Rose Hill and beat them. I remember, who was it? Was it Van Driel's mother was texting during the, tweeting during the match, you know, we're losing, and sure enough, the Bullpups won that match. So Rose Hill's going to come to play because they're, you know, they're on a losing streak against the Bullpups. Rose Hill lost their coach, Melissa Segovia, who is now at Valley Center, but her husband is now the softball coach.
Big Tony.
Big Tony. He's at McPherson College, and he'll do a great job for them. But this is a real measuring stick for the Bullpups. They're 8-2. They've only lost to two ranked teams. Now, Rose Hill's coming off a loss to Bishop Carroll in the finals of the Valley Center Invitational. They only got beat. They got beat 25-10 in the second set. That tells me Bishop Carroll is really good, because Rose Hill has five of their players back from last year's state championship team, and I think those five are pretty much on their state championship team from the year before, too.
Big night coming up for us tonight. We'll take the air about 7:20 for McPherson and Rose Hill. We'll have some volleyball updates for you as well. So it should be a big night, and of course, go check out midkansasonline.com in the morning.
You bet.
If you miss any of the action. All right, Steve, we'll wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tonight at McPherson Stadium.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess it's-